Welcome to Hacking Your ADHD. I'm your host, William Kerb, and I have ADHD. On this podcast, I dig into the tools, tactics, and best practices to help you work with your ADHD brain. Hey team, this week I'm talking with Jamie Coutinho, a licensed occupational therapist, TEDx speaker, ADHD coach, and a fervent advocate for the ADHD community. In today's episode, Jamie shares her insightful and empowering journey from discovering her ADHD diagnosis to utilizing skills she learned as an occupational therapist to enhance daily life. Jamie has her own podcast, Outsmart ADHD, where she and her guests go over the latest research, share stories, and look to provide you with actionable advice. In our conversation today, we talk about what occupational therapy is and how it can help with ADHD management, how sensory issues can impact our ADHD, and get into some of the tips and tricks that can help you with these issues. And since Jamie is a podcaster herself, we get into some of the specifics about podcasting and some of the things I'm looking to improve on this one. If you'd like links or to read this episode's transcript, you can go to the show notes page at hackingyouradhd.com/148. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why, for the last 8 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and with it, I feel like I'm ready to take the day on. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre- and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. And, you know, switching my clocks for daylight saving time has been hard on my routines recently. My body is used to doing things at a certain time, and just because numbers on the external clock have changed, doesn't mean that my internal clock has caught up yet. So now more than ever, it's important that I try and stick to my habits and routines so that I can get that clock to shift in line to this new government-mandated time. So I appreciate how easy it is for AG1 to integrate into my schedule. I don't have to think about it because that barrier to entry on the habit is so low. I just add AG1 to some water, shake up the bottle, and pop it on my desk next to my tea while I do some writing. I love with AG1 that I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases even when I'm having trouble getting through the rest of my day. If there's one product that I would recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So, if you want to take ownership over your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/ADHD. That's drinkag1.com/ADHD. Check it out. I also wanted to let you know about the Hacking Your ADHD newsletter, Any and All Distractions. And that's what this newsletter is all about. The things that have caught my interest over the past week that I think also might be interesting to you. In it, I bring you the top things of the week that have caught my attention from the world of ADHD and beyond. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, keep on listening to find out how you can outsmart your ADHD. Well, when did you get your diagnosis and how did the process of you getting there happen?
So getting the diagnosis and knowing I had ADHD happened at two very different times. I was diagnosed with ADHD as a kid, did not know it. I don't remember having a conversation with my mom about it because she was my primary caregiver. And I was in my graduate program and I had turned in yet another rough draft as my final copy because, you know, I had it saved 15,000 times, uploaded the wrong thing. And it got to a point where I was really worried of like, oh my God, like what the hell is going on? How am I going to get through my occupational therapy degree? And then I was talking to my therapist and I'm like, hey, I don't know. I've been doing some research. ADHD just seems like it fits. And she was like, oh, well, you were diagnosed as a kid. Do you not remember? And this is like, of course, I don't remember. And my mom had passed away when I was 18. So it's not like I had her to talk to about it. So I was figuring this out as an adult on my own. So that's when I found out that I have ADHD. And that's what cued the hyper focus of, okay, I know what's going on now. What the hell do I do about it?
Yeah, I know when I got my diagnosis in my 20s, but I didn't jump into what I should do about it for like another 8 years. And then it was like, oh, there's stuff I can do about this. This is more than what I originally thought.
Yeah, like this isn't a death sentence. There are things.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I can do something.
Right.
I'm not stuck.
Yes.
And I definitely resonate also with that, like feeling you were describing of like, why is this so much harder for me?
I won't forget being in a job one time and talking to a coworker and being like, "Do you just feel like life is overwhelming?" At the time, I was a personal trainer, and she was like, "You know, when life gets overwhelming, I just have a really good workout and like everything works out, and that has gotten me through the worst parts of my life." I'm like, "I ever just feel like that's not enough though?" And she's like, "Not really." I'm like, "Okay, well that's fine. I'll just be over here in the corner then, trying to figure out my life." But yeah, had no idea why such simple, easy, air quote, things were so hard.
And it's over and over, and you're like, oh, there's got to be, it's often not, it's got to be something. It's more often something's wrong with me, and I've got to just work harder.
Right. You just internalize all of it. And of course, internalize ableism, right? Because everyone's telling you, like, you know, if you just try harder, if you just make a list, it's all going to work out. And it's just like, listen, I have notebooks of lists and I've lost the notebook. So I'm going to need you to give me something else that works.
Oh, God, the horror of losing the notebook with the list. Just like, I'm never going to remember what was in there.
Right.
Something's gone forever now. So one of the things you mentioned earlier was this occupational therapy, which is a really interesting thing for treating ADHD that I don't know that much about, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about how occupational therapy and ADHD intersect.
Yeah, so occupational therapy, the field is so broad. We treat newborns through people that are in their last stages of life. So the things that we can do as OTs is very broad, but ADHD specifically, things that we work on are, you know, we have an underdeveloped frontal lobe, which affects our executive functioning. Which, what do you need executive functioning for? Literally every single thing in your daily life, because every single thing in your daily life has multiple steps, which we are so in tune to as ADHDers. When you go and do your laundry, it's not just doing the laundry. It's okay, I need to find all the laundry. I need to put it into the basket. I need to take it downstairs. I need to figure out if there's still clothes in the washer that I never actually got to the dryer. You know, everything is multiple steps. So OTs really help with executive functioning, transitioning from one task to another, actually starting a task, finishing a task, all of those executive functioning pieces, how to put dopamine into the task so that you actually do it, because we are dopamine seeking humans. And if it's boring, we're just simply not going to do it. But also, a big part is the sensory piece, because we are overstimulated in some areas, understimulated in another. And I've actually found that first looking at the are my sensory needs being met really contributes to productivity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bad sensory experience can just make everything so, especially like noise gets me where I'm like, oh,
Oh my gosh.
if I'm wearing headphones while cooking and I don't hear like the oven fan and stuff, I'm like, oh, this is way easier.
Yes. Do you also have a really good pair of like noise canceling headphones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I cannot live my life without them. I wish I could go back in time, you know, almost 30 years and have them, but I've had them now for, I don't know, maybe 5 years. And my gosh, incredible transformative experience of having noise canceling headphones for daily life.
Yeah. The other one for me is I have to have really well-lit rooms. I know a lot of people like the more like dim lights for the working, but if like if I'm not I don't have enough light in the room, I'm just like I don't know. It's hard for me to get work done then.
Do you like a specific kind of light? Like, are you okay with just the really bright white like lights that you see in like lit up offices and stuff? I can't remember the exact name of them, but are you okay with like that type of light, or does it have to be a more yellowish toned lamp? Do you just need it bright, or does it have to be a certain kind of light? I'm super curious.
So like the fluorescent lights that they have in offices?
Yes, the
Yeah.
floor. Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
No, those are awful. And
Right?
they have that buzz that like I associate with
Yes.
like bad exams. But yeah, I do like the warmer tones of light, but being able to like have it bright. So,
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
which is fun. My wife likes rooms much dimmer, and I'll like come in, I'm like, doing, I can't see anything in here.
Right. It's funny because I do like things well lit, but there's also a point in time where I'm just like, okay, I need everything in this house dark for like 2 hours before I go to bed, which my husband is not neurodivergent in the same way as me. So he likes the lights to stay on. And I'm just like, can we just shut all these damn lights off, please? Because I need to shut my eye or like have lower stimulation so that I can actually fall asleep. Because it's, you know, it's already harder for us to fall asleep at a decent time having ADHD.
When I got dimmable lights, I was like, oh, this is great. We can have a nice dim evening, and then I can pop them up for the day when I want to work.
Yeah. And those are type of some of the things that we as OTs that we do too. It's how can we modify the environment to fit those sensory needs? I mean, and it can be as simple as having dimmable lights. It can be something as simple as what clothes are you wearing right now? And is the feeling of your tag keeping you from actually doing your homework, doing your work task or whatnot? It could be something like you had mentioned, the sounds can be very overstimulating, needing noise canceling headphones, or needing something on that's stimulating, such as a podcast or music, so that you can actually, you know, get the dishes done or work on a focus task. That is some ideas of what we can do for the sensory component. But the best way I can explain OT is really when you break it down, it's okay, you have a person and they have this goal. What is the barrier that's keeping them from that goal? Mm-hmm. And what's the creative solution to get there is really what it comes down to. It's an art and a science.
Yeah, sounds like it, because it's everyone's so personalized in how their ADHD or other conditions affect them.
Yeah, absolutely. And OT is seen more as, you know, we talked about, like, you know, a lot of kids will go to OT or some kids will go to OT, and it's seen as something that, you know, if you're going to an OT for ADHD, you must be a kid. But ADHD, as we know, is a neurodevelopmental disorder. It doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't learn those skills and strategies as a kid, you're going to need that support as an adult, where it can be really, really beneficial to see an OT even as an adult.
Yeah. Some of the things I've seen with kids for OT is stuff like teaching like frustration tolerance and learning how to do multiple steps in a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that might be good for some of that stuff to like get better at for myself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like we grow out of it. So
yeah. I'm like thinking like the multiple steps, like if I'm like driving somewhere with my wife and she'll like read some directions, I'm like, you got to just go one, maybe two directions. After that, I'm going to either zone out on what you're saying and forget the first step, or just completely mix them together.
You can't give me more than one step when we're driving. My eyes will glaze over, and just directions in general, I'm never going to remember them. I can drive to the same place 37 times, but just, you know, use my Waze app to get there, and I will not be able to describe to you how to get there. My brain's kind of on autopilot, but that's another side thing.
Just an entire episode on driving and ADHD.
Right.
The nightmare of overstimulation.
Right. No kidding. What I think people don't realize is that it's also the overachieving ADHDers that maybe have like more degrees than a thermometer and have done all these really cool things. Just because they've accomplished all of those things does not mean that they don't need support as well. As ADHDers, we can become very hyper-fixated on what we love to do. I know for myself, building this business, as you know, it takes a lot of effort to get something like this off of the ground. It's all-consuming. You're constantly thinking about it. But it got to the point where I was neglecting my marriage in pursuit of this goal, which is funny because I wanted to build the business to retire him because I didn't want him to have to work so hard. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of it, I'm completely neglecting it. So it's not just the people that are having a hard time getting out of bed that need that support. It's also the high achieving, burnt out, people pleasing, imposter having ADHDers too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it does feel like, oh, if I'm so successful here, I should be successful here. But that's not how skills transfer.
No, it's funny because, you know, I've done 2 TED Talks. I have a master's degree, but I have no idea where the hell I put my phone most of the time. We have strengths and we have weaknesses. And I think the more that we advocate for, listen, I can be very high achieving and need support, I think there needs to be more awareness around that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not a linear line. There's go all over the place in what we need. Because there's these are tasks I'm really good at, but keeping my desk organized is not one of them.
Right. Exactly. And something as small as having a hard time keeping your desk organized can keep you from, you know, writing the book that you really want to write. It can keep you from your big goals. These little things can keep you from these big goals that you have in your heart too. So the little things sometimes aren't even little things. They're the big things.
Oh, absolutely. Because it is a culmination of all the things that we want to do. It's like, if I want to get my ADHD management under control, I can't do one thing and expect it to be managed.
Oh, gosh, no. You need a toolbox of tools. And depending on the day, depending on your energy, depending on the spoons you have, depending on your accessibility to whatever you have on scheduled that day, you might need different tools. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I absolutely needed different tools today when my son got me up at 4 to say he needed to go back to sleep. And I'm like,
oh, okay. No.
Yeah, so it's been a long day so far, but
oh, no.
It's like, you know, having the things like, oh, I know how to do this. I know how to make sure that when I'm going to go and have, you know, this podcast podcast later, I can be ready for that, given that I actually remembered to show up at the right time this time, which was slightly off for what I had put in my head, but counted as a win since it saw my error before it happened.
But Will, you know, I really appreciate your transparency because you have a kick-ass podcast. I mean, if it's not the top, it's one of the top ADHD podcasts, and you're over here being like, oh wait, I had the time screwed up. I can't tell you how cool that is as someone who aspires to have a really prominent podcast one day, for you to be so successful and be like, oh shit. You know, sometimes I struggle with things too. Obviously, I know that we struggle, but it's really cool to see someone of your caliber that's just like so transparent about it.
Thank you. But also, I think it is like the easiest things for me to talk about are what my struggles actually are.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, this hot podcast is fairly self-serving where I'm like, how do I fix this issue? And I think that is a like key to like why people like the podcast too, is that it's looking at, you know, the problem solving techniques behind it. Because what I've always found with like ADHD management, it's, we're all so unique with what our problems are. Because my original concept of the show was like, oh, I'll give people tools to use. And I'm like, that's not what works. Like everyone has different needs. And if I give someone a tool, it's not going to slide into their life nicely. We need to figure out the strategy behind the tool and why that works.
Right. Absolutely. You can't hand someone a planner and say, okay, have a field day. Everything is fixed.
I had fun a while back with like some bad ADHD advice stuff. And I was like, yeah, there's so much like all the advice isn't bad on its own. It's just that it doesn't work when you don't address the context behind it.
Absolutely. Which is, I think, why we get so damn frustrated with neurotypicals when they give advice, because, and I'm not saying it's their fault. If there's any neurotypicals listening, I'm not targeting you, my friend, but they don't understand why we're struggling and how our brain works so fundamentally differently.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, would a planner help? Probably. If I'm not doing any planning, a planner probably would help. I have trouble filling out the planner.
Yeah. Where did I put the planner? How detailed am I going to be with this planner? This planner does not put the actual Zoom link for the podcast because I need that to be really readily accessible too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, F your planner, not working.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I live by my Google Calendar. It's like, oh, if it's not in there.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to happen. It's got to have all the notifications. They'd be like, hey, you have this in 30 minutes. And you have this today. Like, I just got summons for jury duty. And I'm like,
oh, my condolences. I'm so sorry. I haven't had the pleasure of doing that yet.
Yeah, this might be the first time that it actually works out that I can go. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put it in my calendar, but put a notification in that I have it 10 days before, 4 days before, and the day before.
That is brilliant. Now, what is your, do you have like set alarms that you have for that day? Because mine for the day are 60 minutes prior, 30 minutes prior, and then 10 minutes prior to make sure I have like the mental bandwidth to transition. Do you have it for the day as well? Or do you more so have, you know, the days prior?
For this one, I just have the days prior. A lot of other, like if I have a important event, I will do the, like, I have my thing to automatically set to always give me a 30 minute one. And then depending what I need to make sure that I need to do to have the bandwidth to get there, have those things in too. And you know, also have like the, oh, if I'm going to be needing to travel, okay, when do I need to actually leave, not when do I need to be there? Because
right, two very different things.
Yeah. And like adding that time between is like, the way it says it takes 30 minutes to get there, but I still need to get in my car and I need to then find a parking spot and park and I need to walk into the building.
Yeah. My understanding is that neurotypical brains don't have to go through that process to know how to be there on time. And I joked about this with some of my clients. It's like, when you realize how much simpler or easier some of these tasks are for them, their accomplishments just seem so unimpressive. Is that a bad thing to say? I'm just like, you should be able to do so many more things with a brain that literally releases dopamine when you start thinking about the thing you want to do.
I like my friend Brendan Mahan of the ADHD Essentials podcast has the saying that ADHD is life on hard mode.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Ain't that the damn truth? Someone needs to make a t-shirt that says that because it's the truth.
Yeah. One of the things I like try to think about for how approaching things is like, oh, I'm on hard mode, but how can I make this not hard mode? How can I like find the solution that works with my brain so that this works?
Right. You know what really irks me, Will? It's when people have this misconception that ADHD medication suddenly makes life easier, than it is for like a neurotypical, when really it's like handing somebody crutches when they have a broken leg just so they can hobble around in a way that they're able to get around.
Well, I mean, I remember when I first got on medication, I didn't use any other strategies, and I was like, man, I am fantastic at making comments on Reddit now.
It's the truth, because just because you have the ability to focus doesn't mean you are suddenly able to do the things that you never wanted to do before.
Like, oh, I have to do so many other things, like medication, great intervention for helping with ADHD, but without the other strategies, it doesn't help that much.
No. I mean, with strategies, you're going to feel like a superhuman versus, before you had any support or medication at all. I'm talking about my own experiences, but yeah, medication alone is not going to be a cure-all.
That's like a big key to like actually doing your management. But the thing that's with medication as well is like it also makes implementing those strategies so much easier.
So much easier. I love Jessica McCabe. I think she calls it like a focus potion. Because, like you said, like you're suddenly so much better at commenting on Reddit, but it does make the executive functioning tasks so much easier. And I will say for myself, even though, ADHD is a stimulant medication, I find myself not getting overstimulated as much when I'm on the medication. Have you noticed that, Will?
I'm trying to recall times that I've been overstimulated and comparing, and I'm like, it feels like, yeah, more often it's when I'm unmedicated that I have that overstimulation.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe it's because we're able to focus on the tasks that we're trying to do easier and maybe able to tune out, all the other stimuli, the sounds and stuff. But yeah, the days that I don't take my medication definitely stimulated more, and I haven't gone down the rabbit hole to understand that more why, but I'm sure I will.
I mean, the way I try to think about it is that with ADHD, we know the name is a terribly misleading because it's,
Absolutely.
about how we lack the ability to focus our attention. I mean, then that's what gives us this problem with stimulation is that I can't not pay attention to like the person over there talking, and then also that light there is blinking weird. And so I'm noticing all those things. And so I think with the medication, I can then control my focus better on the things that I want to do and kind of like silence that extra stimulus.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And that's exactly how I feel too.
And so I think that's a big way that we have to think about ADHD is like, how do I make control my focus? And it sounds a lot like this is kind of what you would be doing in OT is like, hey, how do I control this focus piece?
Yeah, I mean, it's really okay. What's your goal? I mean, for a business owner, their goal might be, say, recording a podcast. Okay, what is keeping you from recording the podcast? Is it that your microphone is downstairs and the idea of going downstairs and getting the microphone, coming back up and setting it up feels overwhelming? Do you just need to have it set up all the time? Is it that your room is either too lit, not lit enough? Is it that you are putting these ridiculous expectations of, okay, I need to look like a model from America's Next Top Model every time that I record because I want to use this footage as short form reels? Are you creating an accessible experience just based off of perfectionism and wanting to be that overachiever?
Just, reconnecting us to this concept of what you actually do in OT, because I'm sure that's also something like we talked about some of the stuff earlier, but I feel like we could dive in a little bit more about specifics that people might see in OT so that they could understand if it is the right approach for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Big on the sensory piece, big on when people are struggling with being productive, a lot of times they think that they need productivity tools when they really need to just create a more accessible space or process and have their sensory needs met. A lot of times, especially because I work exclusively with women with ADHD, a lot of times it's a lot of people-pleasing behaviors, which not having very good boundaries around your time and energy, how are you going to be able to do those really cool big things that you want to do when you are exhausted and feel like you need to answer the phone every single time your friend Tiffany calls crying because Josh broke her heart again when you saw it coming 3,000 miles away? And understanding that you're not a terrible person for having boundaries around your time and energy, which will allow you to do the things that you need to do to survive, let alone thrive in daily life. So a lot of it actually is overcoming that people pleasing and also dealing with rejection sensitivity, especially for, you know, fellow high achieving people where they might want to be an aspiring business owner, but they're having a hard time creating a social media post because, God forbid, what are people going to think about you? I don't know about you, Will, but that's something that I really struggled with in the beginning. I actually sought out a business coach because I wanted to know, how can I market myself without using social media? I was terrified. A couple of years later, I've done a couple TED Talks, so clearly I got the fuck over myself, but that was very hard in the beginning. I'm curious, did you struggle with that, with worrying about what people would think about you in the beginning?
I mean, in the beginning, no. I mean, still.
Right.
Because, yeah, I deal a lot with the people pleasing too, where I was actually thinking about this earlier today with being like, man, it's weird where I'm have so much trouble being like, if I have the time to do something, mm-hmm. that signals in my brain that I should be doing it. Like, mm-hmm. if I have that space open on my calendar, it doesn't really matter if I'm not crazy about doing it or if I have other stuff going on later and I'm like, oh, it's gonna make that day crazy. I'm like, but I could physically do that, so I should. Mm-hmm. I'm occasionally on Twitter mm-hmm. as my social media because partially it's just, I don't see a huge benefit to social media at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime I've had a thing go viral somewhere else in my sphere of social media, mm-hmm. do I see that translating to stuff in the podcast? Usually not. So
this is good to know because, you know, I'm only a couple of years out. How long have you had your business, Will?
I started the podcast in 2019. So,
okay. You've become one of the biggest podcasts as fangirl over here. Can I ask, is it just your guests really spreading the word of your podcast that has made it grow so much? And obviously it's a badass podcast, but is that how you have found your audience?
Mostly it's been word of mouth. And then also getting the weird thing with where once you start growing, you're like on top of charts, then mm-hmm. you start getting the lion's shares of clicks. People go, oh, that's the top thing there. I want to go to that.
That makes sense.
So I started in 2019 and then April 2020, we have pandemic. I saw numbers drop, but after people got their groove back, people really embraced podcasts. And so it really grew right then. And at that point, I wasn't having any guests on. So it's all like word of mouth and being in the right place at the right time.
And just being a badass person. Like, you're being very humble right now because people don't share about a crappy podcast.
Thank you. But yeah, it's the numbers are weird when I like look at it. I'm like, that's a lot of people. But yeah, there's still that like worry about making sure that the product I put out is good. You know, I've had bad episodes that I put out and been like, oh, I should take these down. When some of them I have, others I have not. Really depending on, like, there was one that I was like, oh, this is beyond what I'm okay having on the podcast at this point.
Was it a guest that said something that you just didn't align with your values? Was it a solo podcast? Can I ask that? Is that too invasive? My autism is showing.
it was a guest that overstated some studies and stuff. And then looking into some of their other things, I was like, oh, really don't align with what I believe here. And I'm kind of regretting that I initially put this up. I was a little shaky about it first and I was like, ah, it'll be fine. And then I'm like, oh, this was not fine.
Yeah. Now, as an incredibly busy ADHD business owner, how much of a vetting process do you do with your guests? Because I can imagine that you are pitched by a lot of people and sifting through that. Is that an overwhelming experience?
Yes. In fact, I have just hired a assistant to help with that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Because I was like, oh yeah, if I had vetted this other guy, it would not have happened. Or better vetted. Like, because I did do like some like initial, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, they're not too far out there. Then, oh, I was wrong. So I've been doing a lot more recently. But there have been definitely like before, like things like, I'm like, oh, there's this doctor that says you can cure ADHD with progesterone. Let's look him up. Oh, he was disbarred. He's not actually a doctor anymore. Let's not have him.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'll keep my thoughts to myself. That's wild. That's a wild claim.
And then like, you know, I get lots of like, cure your ADHD through diet. And I'm like, well, you can't cure ADHD. So let's dial this one back.
Oh my gosh. If I had a dollar for every single bot or person, I've been told they're bots that have gotten into my Facebook group and have done the same copy and paste message of, if you take these mushrooms, it's going to, you know, cure every mental illness you've ever had. I would probably have all my student loans paid off at this point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so it is a, you know, being more in depth, you know, I've had some other podcasts pitch me recently and I was like, okay, let's listen through some episodes. Let's see what they're actually about so I can be confident when I reply.
Yeah, I really respect that too, because it's not just seeing, okay, what is your reach? How is this going to, you know, help me grow my audience? You really want to be particular about what you're putting out, because I mean, you don't have a podcast like this just because you're trying to make money. You have to be really passionate to continue with it, you know, as you have 6 years later. I was recently pitched and I was looking at some of the bullet points, you know, their assistant, their person put, and one of the things was about the troubles of treating, you know, ADHD with medication. I'm just like, hey, I want to know if your person is very against ADHD medication. If so, it's not going to be on my podcast, because I'm not about to spread information like that when there's already so much stigma around ADHD medication, even though the research shows when you are under a physician's care and have ADHD, very low to no prevalence of addictions.
When properly taken, ADHD medication is very effective and very safe. But like, there's so many things where it's like, hey, we want to do this parents talk thing. How do you feel about medication? And I'm like, oh, I'm pro medication. I'm like, oh, well, that's not great. I'm like, why are you not pro medication? There's no good information.
It's wild because, you know, during the pandemic and the understanding of ADHD has grown, but it is still just nowhere where it needs to be. I can go on my soapbox all damn day long about medication. I won't, but I feel very strongly about it. I mean, it's no different than, can you imagine just keeping insulin from someone that has diabetes because there being a stigma around insulin? It's just crazy when you think of it.
Yeah, we want to be able to just function normally, especially with kids. There's like some evidence that treating people with medication as children helps rewire their brain so that their executive functions better form, and then they can
shut the front door.
Yeah, you know, because their brain is still developing, they are developing those pathways that the medication is helping.
Oh my gosh, this is mind-blowing and so exciting. And now I'm going to go down a rabbit hole of looking at that research too. How badass is that? That's really cool to know though.
Yeah. And I will say that if I remember correctly, that was just like preliminary research. So that is still something that's not like proven yet. So, but okay. It is like an idea that like, hey, that there is some merit to this. So it deserves that follow-up, because again, we don't see this like bad outcomes from long-term medication use.
Right.
And when we do see side effects, like I developed a much higher heart rate than I wanted. My Apple Watch kept dinging me, being like, hey, you're standing and not doing anything and your heart rate's jacked. And I was like, not great. Let's talk to my doctor. And we like lowered my dosage. Things got back into things. We played some things. And it was like, okay, we just adjusted what I had so that it worked with my current life situation.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed recently that when, I mean, even the instant release versus extended release, for the instant release, I don't know, I feel a little bit off. My psychiatrist described it as like a washing machine feeling in your head almost. But the extended release, good to go. Like you had said, it might just be a dosage. It could be a different type of ADHD med that works for you. But this idea that ADHD meds are bad, well, I'm going to be over here advocating till the day I die that they're not.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we let people use the tools that are going to help them the most.
Yeah, it is super okay to outsource the things that are very challenging for you, or that don't bring you joy, or that keep you from doing what you really want to do. I can tell that you love connecting with people, but it sounds like editing the podcast and putting it together maybe took some executive functioning away from you that you could be putting better towards other things. So I also think it's really cool that you had openly talked about, yeah, I have an assistant actually to help me with this vetting process.
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing something a while ago about this comedian who is becoming a mother, and people are like, oh, how do you do it all? And she's like, oh, I have like an assistant, I have a nanny, and I have this. And then she's like, that is how I do it all, because I don't.
Yes. Is her name Amy?
I want to say Amy Wong.
Yes. Yes. Her. She's hilarious. I adore her. And I loved that. I loved that also because the feminist in me was like, hell yeah. Like, show up. We can't do everything all the time. But yeah, it's true. We can't do everything. I can't remember how many months ago was it. I got an assistant and holy crap, life changer to not have to figure out the entire back end of my business. And oh gosh, like I swear I don't actually have it, but I feel like I have like PTSD just thinking about when I did all of that myself, and having that support, just a freaking game changer.
Also, the assistant gave me a whole new appreciation of the idea of mental load, and like I'm being like, oh, I have to assign them all these tasks and I have to figure out what those tasks are, and that's a huge task in itself.
It is. And people also don't talk about that, because people who maybe haven't had an employer or contractor before will think, okay, if I have somebody, it's going to solve all my issues. But the truth of it is, there's so much executive function that goes into that initial like handing off process, where in the beginning, it's actually more work to do that versus doing it yourself, but knowing long-term, it's going to be a lot less of a cognitive load.
Yeah. It was funny the other day when I was talking with him and I was like, oh, I'll put this together and send it to you. And I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm going to, wait, could you put this together so I don't have to send? I was like, he's like, yeah, that is totally within my wheelhouse. I'm like, oh, whoa, that is blowing my mind that I don't have to do these things that were in my head that I were have to's.
Do you find that you enjoy your business even more now, just having that support to have some of that brain power freed up?
Definitely. When I got my editor, I'm 2 weeks in on the assistant, so I'm still feeling that one out.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know I'll get there and it'll be nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there any thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Being high achieving doesn't mean you don't deserve support. Say no more often. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And you can't do all the things all the time. Outsource when you can.
It doesn't have to be your executive function. It can be someone else's.
Offload that shit, my friend.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. I had a great time with this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Will. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Jamie for coming on the show, and thank you for sticking with us all the way to the end. Be sure to check out Jamie's podcast, Outsmart ADHD. Before you go, let's do a quick rundown of today's top tips. 1. Occupational therapy can provide strategies for improving executive function, task initiation and completion, as well as transitioning between tasks. It is designed to help you develop and maintain the meaningful activities that are hard for your ADHD brain. 2. Since needs can vary daily, having a range of strategies to address different challenges is crucial for effective ADHD management. Tools like noise-canceling headphones and well-lit environments or dimly lit environments can drastically improve focus and comfort, but will work differently for different people. You need to find what works for you. 3. Recognizing that you can't do everything alone and leveraging support can lead to more enjoyment and success in both your personal and professional life. When you can, it is great to outsource and delegate things that are hard for you to complete. I also wanted to let you know about the Hacking Your ADHD newsletter, Any and All Distractions. In it, I bring you the top things of the week that have caught my attention from the world of ADHD and beyond. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. Feel free to connect with me over at hackingyouradhd.com/contact. If you'd like links or to read this episode's transcript, you can go to the show notes page at hackingyouradhd.com/148. If you'd like to support the show, the best way to do so is to tell somebody about the show, especially if you think they'd like a particular episode. Just click the share button on your podcast player and send it over to them. And now for your moment of dad. What planet is like a circus? Saturn. It has 3 rings.